Tim, how are you?
Good, Tony.
A couple questions for you. A federal judge has ordered the state to temporarily stop enforcement of the law ending cash assistance to more than 10,000 families who have collected welfare for more than 4 years. What do you know about this and what happens now?
Well, this is a procedural win. It's not a permanent win. The benefits will continue. Basically, what the federal judge told the Snyder administration, you got it wrong, guys. When you sent out the letter notifying that these benefits would be cut off, they did not talk about the due process that these families would have to appeal their welfare, to maybe stay on the welfare rules. And the letter just basically didn't clearly point out what the rights were of the people. And they didn't give enough time to do the appeal process, so the judge said, go back, do it again. In the meantime, the welfare benefits continue to flow.
What do you think will be the end result?
The end result is just a matter of time before these benefits are shut off. The judge did not address the content of the legislation. He didn't say it was illegal. He just said you did a notification. You did got that wrong.
You know, we talked about this earlier. Jennifer Granholm has written a book. You mentioned there wasn't a lot that you did learn. You had the opportunity to interview her. You know, what was your take from that interview?
If you had a chance to see it, and you can by going to WKAR.org and just look for the off-the-record logo, I thought that Mr. Mulhern and the former governor, you saw them as they are. It was only 18 minutes, but there was a lot of byplay between the two of them. There was some humor, there was some passion, there was some an attempt on her part to explain what she did and why she did it. She admitted some mistakes, and so I think what we saw is what we got there. I had somebody write me an email from the R side of the aisle and said, where was this woman during the last 8 years? That was a refreshing interview. She should have been like that when she was in office. You know, but you cannot please anybody in this business.
Ain't that the truth? Tell us about the governor's visit to China. From your perspective, what was gained?
Well, he did call us in yesterday, as I thought he would, to do a little debrief on the trip, and he called it successful. In fact, he thought it was better than what he had anticipated. He didn't bring back any jobs, but he began to lay the groundwork for a good working relationship. I asked him, I said, did you run into the union issue when you were there? And he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, did you have some of the companies say, you know what, Michigan sounds like a great place, but you got all those union people there. And at first he said, well, no, not a lot. And then he did confess that he had run into it tangentially from some of the companies. And he explained, you know, that this is what Michigan is, but it's not a problem. And I said, did you have to defend the unions? No, he said, I perceive my role as a facilitator to get both sides together so that they can become comfortable with one another. Also asked him about, if China's such a hotshot place, about establishing an office there, which Michigan has not had ever. And he said, nope, we're not ready to do that yet.
Let's talk a little bit about the bridge. The Maroons sure are pumping out a lot of money for those ads, and I see them all over the newspapers, too.
Well, and they had a news conference yesterday where they tried to debunk what the Snyder administration has said about getting $2 billion from the federal government. My sense is that the Maroon family sort of feels like it's losing this battle, and this is like the Yankees coming on in the inning that they scored 6 runs last night. They are piling it on and pouring it on in hopes that that they can beat back this thing in the state Senate. I'm getting some mixed signals on the votes there. The Republican leader tells me that he's close to where he needs to be, but I've had other conservative sources tell me that some key players are not on board. So the Maroon family, they're doing everything they can to stop this thing.
I've seen that the Black Caucus is playing a federal redistricting lawsuit. Is that going to do anything to change that?
Probably not. In fact, you got to wonder why they're bothering with this thing. The money that they're going to spend on the lawsuit and probably lose it might be better spent on just putting it into candidates the next time out to try to win those seats. But this is a free country. The caucus can do what it wants to do. Obviously, they're very upset. These are about the legislative races and not the congressional districts. And they just think that there's a couple of districts in Detroit that the map writers got wrong, so they're hoping the feds will help them out on that.
So, Tim, Lieutenant Governor Kelly's going to be getting on the stump and knocking on doors for Representative Paul Scott, who is facing a recall.
Yep, no surprise there. The administration believes that Paul Scott should not be recalled. In fact, we talked to the governor about that yesterday. I think he's a little uncomfortable with the recall law itself, which is very broad. I mean, you could basically say if you forgot to flush the toilet in the Michigan House, if you're a lawmaker, you could be recalled. And that's true. I said, would you favor narrowing it down to misfeasance or malfeasance? And he sort of said, well, we got to take a look at that. But he's not happy about that. They'd like to save Mr. Scott, and we'll see whether they can.
Well, I always thought you could recall someone but not by not voting for them in the next election.
Well, yeah, and the argument is that this maybe is a waste of resources, but you know what? It's part of the democracy. If people want to try to recall a lawmaker, according to our state law, they can, and they are exercising that right. And, yeah, it's messy and it's ugly. And for Mr. Scott, it's going to take revenue for him to try to save himself, but that's just the way it is.
Tim, what's the latest with the no-fault insurance bill?
Well, we had a huge turnout yesterday in the first hearing in the House Insurance Committee on changing the no-fault law. This is a little complicated, but let's just try to simplify it if we can. Right now, every motorist in Michigan that has insurance has what they call unlimited medical coverage. So if you had a catastrophic accident, no matter how much it took to take care of you, the state, through no fault, would be paying for it. The insurance companies would like to give you an option to buy coverage of only maybe $250,000 rather than unlimited. They say a lot of senior citizens don't need that kind of coverage. They've got Medicare, and there would be some savings there. The other side says, no, let's just leave this thing alone. And I'm beginning to pick up some signals that even though Republicans traditionally support the insurance industry, this one might be a slog that some R's are wondering, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Liquor control laws were from what I understand, there was a possibility they were going to be rewritten. Do we have any new news on that?
Nothing new on that, but that's exactly what's going on. The governor's special committee, which is meeting behind closed doors, is rewriting the rules that control the distribution of liquor. I know that some folks in the liquor industry are very nervous about this because we have a system that they say works. I have a feeling that this system may be rewritten, but it's all going on behind closed doors, so I can't give you any more other than the fact that they are talking and there will be some revision of those rules.
But the state's not going to get out of the liquor business.
They already are for the, you know, remember, we used to have the warehouse for the distribution, and John Engler privatized that. I don't know how far this thing is going to go. I simply don't know.
And then finally, before we let you go, what are you going to be working on for Channel 6?
I don't know. I'm open to suggestions. And if you got any ideas, call Tony, and then he'll spread them along to me. It's too early in the morning to talk about that, man.
do you look at anything going on nationally? You wonder about the presidential race, or you pretty much keep your focus on what's going on here in the state?
No, I watch it because these folks come through. I was not surprised that Governor Christie did not get in the race. I read a piece the other day that said he wouldn't, and by golly, he didn't. But obviously, I'm watching the Mitt Romney thing because I covered his daddy, and I've covered him. So, we'll, yeah, I keep an eye on it.
It looked like Christie wanted to get in, but for some reason, he didn't.
No, I don't think so.
No?
He said, this is not my time. And when a guy says that, it means it's not their time.
And maybe in 4 or 8 years.
You always leave the door open.
All right. Thanks so much, Tim.
Thanks, T. Catch you later. And